you ready for Boomer
Another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the spontaneous idea of free speech, because that's what we do here. We think on our feet. We really do. And that's what we do, especially with Boomer Vision, also with the other shows, with the Patrick and Jeremy show. We think on our feet. We had some good shows this week. But today, we've got other good shows, good ideas. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, so we're going to get right on into it. Janet Yellen, okay, this is from RT by way of Daily Stormer. Jew Yellen admits lunatic anti-Russian sanctions threaten dollar hegemony. But it's from RT. And here's the quote, okay? Here's the lead and then the quote, okay? U.S. sanctions are pushing many countries to seek alternatives to the dollar for settlements. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen admitted during her annual appearance on Tuesday before the House Financial Services Committee to discuss the state of the international financial system. Asked about the risk of de-dollarization, Yellen acknowledged that the use of the dollar is in the global economy is diminishing. It's not surprising that countries are fearing they could be affected by our sanctions, are looking for alternatives to the dollar. It's something that we simply have to expect, she stated. And by the way, I think that is a spot-on imitation of her. I've often said that Kyle's mom does the voice for Janet Yellen, or vice versa. I'm not really sure how that works. But Kyle's mom has more of a sing-songy voice, whereas Janet Yellen has more of a vomit-in-your-own-mouth kind of voice. Okay. So let's discuss the implications of this. Okay, one of the things I like about Boomer Vision is I can just do it. I can just record it while I'm doing my errands and whatnot. So that's what's going to happen. And sometimes it gets a little disjointed that way, but it can also be fun. All right, so Janet Yellen said that. She admitted this. And countries that fear that they could become subjected to American sanctions are going to be looking for alternatives to the dollar for international settlements. Well, yeah, you think? That's true. And the United States has used sanctions against countries for a while. But the thing is, you know, it's had sanctions against Cuba since before most of us were born. Since what? Since 1959. And it's had ongoing sanctions against Russia since 2008. Or at least 2011, at least since the Magnitsky Act. If you wanted to call what happened after the Georgia border skirmish, if you want to call that sanctions, you could go back that far. Venezuela, North Korea,
you know, you've got, it's done this, but what, and Iran too, Iran, obviously, but with Russia, with a country that, well, I mean, it's unprecedented, seizing these, I'm saying it's unprecedented, seizing these bank reserves, the central bank reserves from Russia. I guess they did that to the Ayatollah in 1979 in the midst of the Cold War. But what they're doing with Russia, then kicking them out of SWIFT, you know, kicking them out of SWIFT means, well, they don't have, they have to have an alternative to dollar. And this is a major trading country. This is, Russia has the, like, the biggest, what would you call it, primary production. You know, you have your primary goods, which are agricultural and mining goods. And does it have the biggest primary sector, at least the biggest primary export sector on Earth? It's huge. And so, you know, you, if you're going to do this to Russia, not just Russia, but the countries that trade with Russia are going to have to find alternatives to your dollar system. And it's not just Russia, of course. There's all sorts of countries that could be sanctioned by the United States, that the United States could put itself in conflict with, just the way it did with Russia. There was no reason why the United States had to do all this brinksmanship with Russia, but it did, because it's ruled by crazy Jews. And so, I mean, I'm just going to jump to the next one, China. The United States is playing all this brinksmanship with China. It's insane, but you know, over Taiwan. And this, today's not really the day to get into the details of Taiwan, but just suffice it to say that the United States is, its current policy could very easily provoke a very severe conflict with China, where the United States, if, you know, you follow the example that it used last year with Russia, the United States could try subjecting China to sanctions. Now, the thing is, the Chinese economy at this point, you know, the thing is, a couple of months ago, according to UN estimates, India surpassed China as the most populated country on Earth, the biggest country in terms of population. But simultaneously with that, China, depending on what measure you use, is surpassing the United States as the biggest economic country on Earth. You know, it, if you're going to use nominal GDP, and you know, nominal GDP is going to count a haircut at an American Supercuts as being worth $20, and a identical haircut at some Chinese barbershop as being $5, you know, and all sorts of things like that. We've got this whole consumption-based economy. Well, by some measures, the United States will still be the biggest economy on Earth, because we are a consumer services superpower. Yay! But in terms of production, industrial production, the industrial production of China is greater than the United States and its, the other six G7 countries combined. So China is the industrial powerhouse of the world. You just can't get around that fact. And China is the biggest trading partner for most countries around the world. For most countries at this point, China is their number one trading partner. It's the number one trading country. It's the number one industrial country. And by some measures, and I would say by the more meaningful measures, it's the number one economic country. So let's just leave it at that. I mean, we could say, oh, yeah, India might fear getting sanctioned at some point. Indonesia might. Pakistan might. Venezuela, of course. Brazil might. Who knows? All these countries might. But the main thing is, if your main trading partner becomes subjected to sanctions, then you're subjected to sanctions de facto, right? Look what's happened to the European countries that were big trading partners of Russia. I mean, look what happened to Germany. The United States blew a load in the pipe through which German gas passes, okay? I mean, United States literally double fisted Germany. It's piped that it passes gas through, right? I mean, and Germany, as a result of this, has had what political economists like myself refer to as advanced industrial demolition syndrome, AIDS. It's got AIDS. United States gave Germany AIDS through blowing a load in its the pipe it passes gas through. And that is gross, but also it has implications for the future. Germany, it's going to become, you know, weaker, more susceptible to all sorts of diseases. It's just going to waste away. It's going to waste away like Freddie Mercury did when he had a similar syndrome. This happens. So if you, let's just say you are Vietnam, and Vietnam is actually on, it's not on the naughty list. I think it's on our nice list. But, you know, if you're you're Vietnam, if you're any Southeast Asian country, and your main trading partner is China, and they're going to try to take China off of the SWIFT system and sanction China such that it doesn't have access to transactions in dollars, well, that's going to impact you, Mr. and Mrs. Southeast Asian. And so what are you going to do? You too, even if you don't feel like you're going to be subject to American sanctions, if your biggest trading partner is going to be subject to American sanctions and not able to conduct transactions in dollars, you're going to set up alternatives. And so this is happening. This is ongoing. And over the past year and 4 months or so since all this started, you're seeing the rest of the world, and they are building alternative systems to the dollar. And, you know, maybe, like I have often said that some of the talk about the petrodollar, or the dollar is the reserve currency, some of the talk about it is, what do you say? It's anachronistic. Like, the petrodollar meant a lot more in the 1970s than it does 50 years later. That's true. Nonetheless, the dollar as the international reserve currency, the dollar, the fact that so much trade goes through dollars, does tend to have a propping up effect on the value of the dollar. I think the dollar, especially nowadays, is very overvalued. And there's a lot that goes into exchange rates. I once thought, when I was in graduate school, I thought I'd do a dissertation on exchange rate determination. And I eventually decided, no, that'll be a mistake. I'll probably never get out of graduate school if I do that. So I switched my topic. But I think there's a couple of things we could see. I don't think you're going to see a collapse of the dollar the way you saw a collapse of the ruble at the end of the Cold War. I mean, the Soviet ruble, which then became the Russian ruble, completely collapsed. It lost like 99% of its value pretty quickly. I don't think you're going to see that with the dollar. But you could still see a decline. I mean, right now, the dollar measured against the yen. And over the years, the yen has been the main... Well, I mean, when I was in the foreign exchange market, the yen was the main measure of the dollar. And the Deutschmark was second. Now, I guess the euro is the main measure. But the euro and the... I don't know. Europe is so integrated with the United States, and Europe could collapse as well. But the dollar yen right now is at 140. 140 yen to the dollar. And a couple of years ago, it was around 110. It had been 110 more or less for a while. So 140 is a substantial strengthening of the dollar. And if you were to go back, I don't know, what was it, a dozen years, 14, 15 years, there was a time when the dollar, it was like 70, what was it, 74 yen? Is that the record? 74 yen to the dollar. But it had been in the, it had been under 100 yen to the dollar for, I guess, throughout the 90s. And I honestly thought at one point we're never going to see the dollar above 100 yen again. So a dollar collapse, what would that mean? Well, I mean, presuming the yen doesn't also collapse, which, you know, who knows about that. But what would it mean? An end to dollar hegemony? Like I say, because the United States has so many valuable assets in it, even if its production, you know, production has been way eclipsed by China, it still has a fair amount of production. You know, the Soviet Union had production, but the problem was that its production was completely non-competitive against Western products, against European, American, Japanese. And by the 1990s, we're already talking about, say, Chinese products, but also, you know, Taiwan and Singapore were big production centers. And Soviet products just weren't competitive. Quality was too low, and its production facilities weren't good. So its assets, I mean, things that it was relying on during the Soviet era, during the Cold War, for production of all sorts of things, for consumer goods, for industrial products, they were worth something to the Soviet Union in a closed economic system, in an economic system that was largely insulated from the West. But once you took away that insulation, those facilities lost complete value because they couldn't produce anything that anybody was willing to pay for. So you had this complete collapse. And, you know, even the Soviets themselves, even the Russians themselves, were purchasing products that were made overseas. So they weren't even... Because the domestic market had been penetrated, they weren't even, these assets, these industrial assets and whatnot, weren't even good for domestic consumption. And the, you know, the housing stock was low quality. Everything was just low quality. So it didn't have the value. United States, there is a lot of value in our assets, and our production's not nearly as far behind as Soviet production. So I don't expect the Soviet-like collapse, but there's no reason that the dollar couldn't test its all-time low against the yen. You know, why couldn't it go down to 70 yen? Right now it's 140. It could lose half of its value. It could even lose more. Now, when it was down at 70 yen, you know, the United States found it easier to export because its exports were cheaper in international markets. And that kind of puts a floor on things. So I don't expect, like, a complete collapse of the economy and the dollar.
Just as I gave mine to you, and he broke it in little pieces, and Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
And that kind of puts a floor on things. So I don't expect like a complete collapse of the economy and of the dollar, but what else would it mean? Because it would have, if you had a de-dollarization and a lot of trade, you know, there's a lot of trade that goes on in the world, and it creates a lot of, so for instance, if you have trade between Saudi Arabia and Thailand, for instance, and Thailand, it's a, you know, it's a substantial industrial country. It produces industrially, or India, right? India produces an awful lot, and Saudi Arabia is an energy supplier. India is an energy importer, and you know that trade has been going on in dollars. And this is the thing that, like, I always used to scratch my head about. It's like, okay, well, you know, so India buys dollars so that it can buy oil. So it buys dollars and then purchases the oil. And then Saudi Arabia has the dollars. And what does Saudi Arabia do with them? Well, Saudi Arabia, to the extent that they're going to use those dollars domestically, well, they sell the dollars and buy their, the Riyadh, the Saudi, I forgot the name of their currency. I think it's the Riyadh or something like that. Or maybe that's just the name of their capital city. So they do that. But But to a large extent, over the years, Saudi Arabia has taken those dollars and the ones that it's not using domestically or using to purchase other goods. Because maybe Saudi Arabia takes those, you know, they want to purchase Mercedes, and so they send those dollars to Germany. Germany sells them Mercedes, but eventually Germany will sell those dollars. But, you know, to an extent, these countries were keeping their surpluses in dollars. They were keeping their surpluses in dollars, which created a net demand for dollars, which tended to prop up the dollar. But the thing is, if you're looking at trade flows, trade made up a much more significant share of foreign exchange transactions in the 1970s when you didn't have computerized trading, when there was a lot more restrictions on capital flows. Trade made up a much more substantial fraction, percentage of foreign exchange transactions than it does now. I mean, now money just bounces back and forth. So much is speculative. And trade flows, to the extent they really have an impact, because there's such a trade is such a small part of foreign exchange transactions nowadays, to the extent, even back in the late 80s and 90s when I was in the markets, it was largely psychological, the impact that it had on the market. You know, there'd be a trade report, and sometimes there'd be a trade report, there'd be some sort of trade report, and the market would go in the opposite direction that it should. And, well, okay, well, that's because of interest rate differentials, right? And if interest rate differentials, then you're going to have capital flows, not trade flows, but you're going to have flows of capital seeking higher interest rates. Sometimes it would be, oh, well, we have to have a flight to safety because there's unrest in the Middle East, or Deng Xiaoping might die, or something like that. George Bush had a heart attack. This type of thing, and I think. But here's one other thing, and it's the ability of the United States to just print money with reckless abandon. Now, other countries, the dollar is not the only reserve currency. It's just by far the most used reserved currency, but the euro is used as a reserve currency, and it is fully convertible. It's a convertible currency. You can buy and sell on the market, and the yen and the British pound and the Swiss franc, pretty big, considering, you know, the smallness of Switzerland and others. You know, Japan has, and Europe, I would suppose, too, but Japan has a very large public debt to GDP ratio. I think it's technically larger than the dollar, larger than the United States. I don't know if that's like smoke and mirrors, but, you know, Japan has printed an awful lot of money over the past few decades and has, you know, runs a perennial budget deficit. And that hasn't resulted in a collapse of the yen. They're able to get people to finance their debt. The United States,
truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one.
Resulted in a collapse of the yen. They're able to get people to finance their debt. The United States, it gets people to finance its debt. A lot of the debt is financed by the Federal Reserve. And, you know, that can be kind of circular. So while I say I don't expect a complete collapse, what is possible from this de-dollarization would be a substantially weaker dollar. And the substantially weaker dollar, you know, in the 1990s when it happened, in the 1990s there wasn't a whole lot of inflationary pressure in the first place. You hadn't just gone through a fake pandemic hoax or whatever. Right now there's a lot of inflationary pressure, and the United States is so reliant on imports, especially from China. If all of a sudden, and the Chinese have been pegging that, this is maybe one of the main things, is the Chinese have been pegging their currency to the dollar, and so if the dollar weakens against the yen and the euro, so does the Chinese yuan. It weakens against the yen and the dollar. It's been pretty much pegged to the dollar. If you had a depegging of that, and if all of a sudden Chinese products in Walmart became a lot more expensive. And not just Chinese products, but Vietnamese and everything else became a lot more expensive. That would, and we're already stressing under inflation. That's why interest rates have gone up so much in the past year and a half is because of, or past couple of years, I guess, is because of inflationary pressure due to the insane COVID policies of shutting everything down, but then paying people money for sitting at home so they can continue to buy things, but nobody's producing things. That insane stuff. So the ability to print dollars with complete impunity, which the United States has exploited with reckless abandon, especially, well, during the COVID and the COVID hysteria and during this war where they're just, you know, sending all this stuff off to Ukraine. That might be partly curtailed. When I say partly curtailed, the ability to do that might become closer to the ability of Japan to do it. And Japan, like I say, it does it a lot. There's probably more transparency with Japan doing it than there is with the United States. I think with the United States, there's, you know, the Federal Reserve has all these, has a lot more smoke and mirrors, I think, than the Bank of Japan. But the thing is, even with a weakening as opposed to a collapse of the dollar, and a lessening as opposed to removal of the ability to print fiat money, that's still going to have a major impact on the United States. The United States is going to get poorer. It's going to experience a lot more inflation. It's going to have less ability to dominate international economic organizations. And, you know, there's already all this, all these complaints about China dominating organizations, which I think is fake. I think it's fake that China dominates the World Health Organization. I don't see why that, you know, Tucker Carlson always makes these statements, never ever produces any backing for them. He just makes statements because, of course, because that's what they do, because they want power. Never gives any real backing for his claims. But it would be a major reduction. And meanwhile, China, one thing about Russia. Now, Russia isn't a huge country economically in terms of its primary production of mineral and agricultural and energy. It's a major player. But one thing about Putin is he has been a very, very fiscally conservative economic manager for the past 24 years. So for 24 years, Russia has had very fiscally sound policies. It's got very little debt. It is exactly what American conservatives and maybe even libertarians, but certainly conservatives say they want from the American government. And that's what Putin's been doing. And so that is a very healthy economy. And China, I'm not quite as sure about. You know, China, there are problems with China in its real estate sector. It's had some bubbles. It's experienced just massively, massively huge growth for the past 40 years. And so there's probably all sorts of growing pains and things that are still below the surface that will come to the surface. But in general, it is a country that's not living beyond its means. It is working hard. And so a China-Russia axis for new international economic systems is happening. And what Janet Yellen was talking about is part of that. Okay, I'm going to sign off and I'll be back with another topic. Okay, we are back. So, moving on to the next issue. I heard recently that a few states, one of them was West Virginia, a few states that had Republican governors are starting to boycott BlackRock. And this is actually a really, really big deal. Now, on the one hand, because I'm kind of contrarian on some of these things, I do think some people are really overrating BlackRock. because BlackRock has a big number, and everybody knows that the bigger the number, the more important it is, right? Regardless of what that number represents. But big, there is kind of like big number porn or something. People really like big, big numbers. And so with BlackRock, there's a really big number. It's like trillions of dollars, $8 trillion or whatever. It's a big number. But what is that $8 trillion? That is assets under management. Assets under management doesn't mean they own it. They don't own it. It's assets under management. Okay, well, who owns it? Well, in, you know, BlackRock's business model, to a very large extent, is ETFs, exchange traded funds. And these are like, they're similar to mutual funds. People are more familiar typically with the word mutual fund. There's a technical difference between mutual funds and ETFs and it's not something very important, and if you don't understand it, it really doesn't matter. But mutual funds, if you're going to buy a mutual fund on your online banking, for instance, you place an order, and you don't actually end it. You don't actually own it until the end of the day. You know, they do their settlements all at the end of the day. At the end of the trading day, they see how many purchases they got, how many sales they have, and then you know, they sum it all up, and then the underlying assets, they will you know, because a mutual fund has underlying assets, they will buy or sell the underlying assets based on that, and they do these settlements once a day. And the exchange traded funds, you own them as soon as you buy them, and it's not a difference that's really important to understand for the vast majority of people. Okay, so this $8 trillion or whatever the $1 trillion assets under management, who owns it? So the people who buy the ETFs. I mean, so much of their business model is ETFs, and in particular, there's a standard, the Standard & Poor's 500, the S&P 500. They have an ETF, and it's probably I could be wrong on this, but it's probably the biggest ETF. It's probably the most traded, and so there are these indexes, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Dow Jones, these 30 stocks, 30 companies in the Dow Jones. That's the most famous. You're always hearing the Dow's up, the Dow's down, and it's the Dow Jones Industrial Average of 30 big companies, and every now and then when a company isn't big enough anymore, like maybe it was GE removed from it, you know, maybe GE gets removed and another one comes in, Tesla comes in, something like that. So there are these stock indexes that people watch and follow, and S&P 500, the thing is, S&P, that's 500. There's 500 companies, and it's not just industrials. It's a whole bunch. And so the S&P 500 is, you know, there's 500 companies that are part of the index. And somebody once upon a time thought, wouldn't it be nice if you could just buy the S&P 500? It was probably the guy at Vanguard, the guy who started Vanguard. Because the guy who started Vanguard was saying, you know, there are all these mutual funds. And Vanguard is, I don't know if Vanguard even does ETFs. I think maybe they're strictly mutual funds. But the guy who started Vanguard, who was a goy, I'm pretty sure, he was looking at these mutual funds that are actively managed, where you hire some kid out of Harvard Business School or whatever, or a couple of people, and they look, examine all these companies, and you pay them a lot of money, and they examine all these companies and say, oh, this one's got a bright future, this one doesn't, this one's, you know, it's a price earnings ratio is such and such, and it's overvalued, it's undervalued, and they make decisions, right? It's actively managed. And what, 50 years ago or whatever, this guy did a study and found that actually just the S&P 500 outperforms the majority of mutual funds. And so he said, well, okay, why don't we just set up a mutual fund that's got all the S&P 500 companies in it, and we'll at the same ratios that they contribute to the index, and we don't need geniuses to do this, because all they're doing is just they're buying enough shares or selling enough shares so that when people buy our mutual fund, then we will buy the appropriate amount of shares in these 500 companies, and when they sell it, we'll sell those, and it's so they don't have to. So it's cheap for one thing, and it performs as well as the S&P 500. And so I think Vanguard started that. The BlackRock, they do this on the ETF side, and they're not the only company. You can get an S&P 500 from Franklin Templeton or State Street or a whole bunch of other companies. And so, but the biggest one's BlackRock. And so whose money is it? Well, it could be an individual investor if you do this, but so much of the money is retirement money. And often people who are, if you work for a company or you work for a school system or whatever, you might only have a few choices of how your money gets invested. You might have little or no choice of how it gets invested. Or sometimes you have all sorts of choices, but often you have very little choice. And so for the state employees, the retirement funds of state employees, state employee retirement systems can be huge. I mean, California is absolutely enormous. And so if you have a state and they say BlackRock, which until only a few years ago, BlackRock and these other companies, Vanguard and these other companies, were staying out of the management of companies. They were very passive. And it's only been recently that they've been involved and they've been pushing the woke stuff. And so this tells you two things. One, because the woke stuff has been going on a lot longer than that. It's been going on since before Vanguard and BlackRock started getting involved like this. So BlackRock and Vanguard didn't start it, and they're not the main movers of it. And here's the other thing. If you own shares, you're going to get these proxy ballots every year, because they have general shareholder meetings every year. I've attended only one. I attended one right before Corona started, and I thought, this is really interesting. And I thought I will start attending them whenever there's a good opportunity. And then the Corona thing happened, and now they've moved to a large extent to remote stuff, to remote meetings, which sucks. But at any rate, I still get these things. And it's not as if I think my vote matters, but I vote anyway because I want to know and I've been doing this for years, and I want to know what they're voting on. I want to know who is on the boards of these companies, because you vote for the board. And, you know, Al Gore is on, what's he on? Is he on Facebook? Or he's on something. Al Gore's on something. And you see Donna Rice was Gary Hart's hot girlfriend. Susan Rice, she's on. What do I have that Susan Rice is on? I don't know, but she's on something. And, you know, you see these people. Al Gore, what's Al Gore on? I can't remember. But you see these names on there from time to time. You see these names. And then also I'd like to see, even if it's a name that I don't know that person, I like to think, that's a Jewish name. Or this is an Indian name. I'd like to see the names. So I've been doing that. But then there's also questions. And until recently, the questions were usually pretty boring. It was like, do you want Deloitte to be the independent auditor? Do you approve of the executive rewards and program? And you know, I usually vote yes for the auditor and no for the executive compensation package. But recently, you've been seeing a lot of do you favor the company preparing a report on equity? right? Or on political contributions, or on their carbon footprint, or things like that. So they are pushing these things. Now, I have done a little bit of research into it, and first of all, from my own experience, I can tell you that the boards of directors at these companies are always advise against.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee that's come to carry the cotton away.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names, shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Gangnam Style. That the boards of directors at these companies are always advise against voting for the woke stuff. So the boards of the companies always, I've never seen one that recommends voting for the woke stuff. And you know, BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard, because so much of the funds under their management are in these index funds, they don't have the ability to just – they can't just dump Tesla because Tesla's in the S&P 500. And if they were to dump Tesla, for instance, then the S&P, their S&P 500 index fund is going to, it's going to skew away from it's not going to reflect the level of the index if they dump these, you know, various companies. So they don't really have a lot of opportunity. And I've seen people say, oh, you know, if they own 5% or 6% of the shares of a company, that gets them a board seat. No, it doesn't. It doesn't get them a board seat. And you occasionally, one of the companies that I have shares in, I can't even remember which one, I think it's a wind company. Maybe it's Broadwind. It's not one of these companies, but there is some group that is trying to get a couple of board seats, and there's massive resistance to it. So they're not getting board seats. And I looked into how often these things are passing. They do occasionally pass, but not very often. Anyway, I've been talking more than I intended to on this. What was I even going to say? Oh, here's the thing. But boycotting is a big deal. And I have a web domain name, and I don't even remember what it is. Somebody gave it to me, and I want to do something with it. I want something like boycott our way out of this, because people say, oh, we can't vote our way out. Boycotting is huge, and you can easily, if you had a boycott movement, you could really cut down BlackRock to size and Vanguard to size. And even though I think their importance is exaggerated, still, I am all for, I mean, years ago, I went through all of my portfolio and anything I found that was through BlackRock, because I like ETFs. I sold everything that belonged to BlackRock, and I bought it the same, because you can get the same index funds or very similar ones from other companies. So I got it from other companies like Franklin Templeton, which isn't, I mean, frankly, it's not Jewish. That's all I can say. And so you can do that. And if state retirement systems are doing it, and there's three, and I can't remember the states, but one was West Virginia, that's a big deal. When you start getting... And it's not going to stop the woke stuff, because the woke stuff is happening at a different level. I think the woke stuff is the executives caving into media and other Jewish mafia pressure. It's the impact of BlackRock so far has been minimal to negligible on the woke stuff, but there is a potential for it. But there's also there's been a backlash, and having these three states boycott BlackRock is a huge deal. And that's all I have time for. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
As you can plainly see, at night when he's asleep, into his pants he'll creep.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.